He looked up at me. I pressed closer to the table and had Butters lift the arm again. I had almost missed it against the rotted tone of the dead man's flesh. A tattoo, maybe an inch square, located on the inside of the corpse's biceps. It wasn't fancy. Faded green ink in the shape of a symbolic open eye, not too different from the CBS Network logo. "See there?" I asked. Murphy and Butters peered at the tattoo. "Do you recognize it, Harry?" Murphy asked. I shook my head. "Almost looks old Egyptian, but with fewer lines. Hey, Butters, do you have a piece of paper?" "Better," Butters said. He got an old instant camera off the bottom tray of one of the medical carts and snapped several shots of the tattoo. He passed one of them over to Murphy, who waved it around a little while the image developed. I got another. "Okay," I said, thinking out loud. "Guy dies of a zillion diseases he somehow contracted all at once. How long do you think it took?" Butters shrugged. "No idea. I mean, the odds against him getting all of those at once like that are beyond astronomical." "Days?" I asked. "If I had to guess," Butters said, "I'd say more like hours, maybe less." "Okay," I said. "And during those hours, someone uses a knife on him and turns his chest into tuna cubes. Then when they're done, they take his hands and his head and dump the body. Where was it found?" "Under an overpass on the expressway," Murphy said. "Like this, naked." I shook my head. "S.I. got handed this one?" Murphy's face flickered with annoyance. "Yep. Homicide dumped it on us to take some high-profile case all the municipal folk are hot about." I took a step back from the corpse, frowning, putting things together. I figured odds were pretty good that there weren't all that many people running around the world torturing victims by carving their skin into graph paper before murdering them. At least I hoped there weren't all that many. Murphy peered at me, her expression serious. "What? Harry, do you know something?" I glanced from Murphy to Butters and then back again. Butters raised both his hands and headed for the doors, stripping his gloves and dumping them in a container splattered with red biohazard signs. "You guys stay here and molder it out. I have to go down the hall anyway. Back in 5 minutes." I watched him go and said, after the door swung shut, "Bunny slippers and polka music." "Don't knock it," Murphy said. "He's good at his job. Maybe too good." "What does that mean?" She walked away from the autopsy table and I followed her. Murphy said, "Butters was the one who handled the bodies after the fire at the Velvet Room. The one I'd started."
"Oh?"
"Mm-hmm. His original report stated that some of the remains recovered from the scene were humanoid, but definitely not human."
"Yeah," I said, "red vampires."
Murphy nodded.
"But you can't just stick that in a report without people getting their panties in a bunch. Butters wound up doing a 3-month stint at a mental hospital for observation. When he came out, they tried to fire him, but his lawyer convinced them that they couldn't. So instead, he lost all his seniority and got stuck on the night shift. But he knows there's weirdness out there. He calls me when he gets some of it."
"Seems nice enough, except for the polka."
Murphy smiled again and said,
"What do you know?"
"Nothing I can tell you," I said. "I agreed to keep the information confidential." Murphy peered up at me for a moment. Once upon a time, that comment might have sent her into a fit of stubborn confrontation. But I guess times had changed.
"All right," she said. "Are you holding back anything that might get someone hurt?"
I shook my head. "It's too early to tell." Murphy nodded, her lips pressed together. She appeared to weigh things for a moment before saying,
"You know what you're doing."
"Thanks." She shrugged.
"I expect you to tell me if it turns into something I should know."
"Okay," I said, staring at her profile. Murphy had done something I knew she didn't do very often. She'd extended her trust. I'd expected her to threaten and demand. I could have handled that. And this was almost worse. Guilt gnawed on my insides. I'd agreed not to divulge anything, but I hated doing that to Murphy. She'd gone out on a limb for me too many times. But what if I didn't tell her anything?
What if I just pointed her toward information she'd find sooner or later in any case?
Look, Murph, I specifically agreed to confidentiality for this client. But if I were going to talk to you, I'd tell you to check out the murder of a Frenchman named LaRoche with Interpol.